this is a good example of the divisions that men made in the Bible. Most of us, if we had to write this down, never would have just stuck verse 20 in chapter 6 and then started in chapter 7. But that's the way it is. You got all these little headings here. I notice a lot of preachers, sometimes they kind of get their message, I guess, from those little headings that are not inspired, but you know, they want to go from heading to heading, and then they wind up missing a lot. So, of course, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abiding a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes, in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise, or should rise, after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. A lot to take in all that reading. This Melchizedek, great mystery man of the Old Testament. A lot of discussions have been made concerning Melchizedek, who he was, where did he come from. Well, we find he was king in Salem, which that's Jerusalem. But that's about all we know about where he came from. Our text tells us that as far as his life is concerned, and as far as his heritage line is concerned, that it's not known. So, if the Bible says it's not known, I'm not going to waste my time trying to find out. I think sometimes we can argue about these things and discuss these things to the point that we kind of forget what this whole story is about. I believe he was a priest, just as the Bible says he was, and that he was a king. I don't believe that he was an angel. I don't believe that he was Christ. Christ has yet to be king in Jerusalem. He will be one day. I don't believe he already has been. A long, long time ago. So he's a man. He's a man that God put in contact with Abraham. Our pastor has been talking about Abraham the last couple of weeks, and how that Abraham is going to be an important individual as far as the Word of God is concerned, being the father of the Jewish nation with which the Old Testament deals with almost primarily. Of course, the Jews being the people of God who have been taken out of the way right now. I believe there's a remnant according to election out there. I don't know how many there are. Nothing like there used to be who believe in Christ, but one day they'll be grafted in. And a great many Jews will believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior. They'll believe that they put Christ to death. Their people did. And they'll believe that their only hope of heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to kind of lose track of certain people. And they're going to kind of lose track of Abraham and people like Melchizedek and others that they put all this confidence in for hundreds of years, and I believe they're going to see Christ. Well, Melchizedek, though he's not one that his heritage is given, but the Bible said in our text that he was a man of importance. Melchizedek would come and visit Abraham prior to the Jews during the time that the tribes of Israel were still in his loins. He comes to visit Abraham as a type, I believe, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Honor was deserving Christ, and Abraham honored him, though he's returning back from a victory over the kings. He's going to honor God at this time, and he does that, I believe, through this meeting with Melchizedek. Now, we see that our text tells us and shows us some things concerning Christ, our great high priest. The Jews were able to learn a long time ago concerning their high priest. And though many of them forgot that, and though many of them did not understand that, nonetheless, Christ fulfilled that type. And it's important that Christ fulfilled this type, even that you and I might be saved. You know, the Arminian makes salvation so easy. So easy. All you got to do is repeat after me, then salvation is completed. I'll tell you, there's a whole lot to salvation. Now, the jailer asked Paul what he must do to be saved, and he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And if your family believes that, they'll be saved too." Well, that sounds simple, but I'll tell you, there's a lot to salvation that most people don't understand, that most people had not even heard of. So not only must Jesus Christ be the holy Lamb of God without sin, But he's also going to have to be this prophet. And he's also going to be this priest. And he's also going to be this king. For all of it to come together and all of it to fit together. And that's, again, one reason I think that Melchizedek, though we don't understand all this about him, but we do understand that Christ came after his similitude. Now, Christ, we're told in our text, have a continuing priesthood and has an everlasting priesthood. And Melchizedek, on the other hand, didn't. His was temporary. We also read in our text that all priests, all high priests that's been in this world, they all had one thing in common, and that is that they were sinners. Every one of them. So, you know, there can't be a lot of confidence put in the high priest, can't there? As far as those that came out of the tribe of Levi, couldn't put confidence in them. Why, we see Aaron, the high priest, when God went up into the mountain to, or Moses went up into the mountain and received the commandments from God, that he's down here involving himself in idolatry. Now, you can't put a confidence in man, no matter his position or no matter his family line or whatever it might be, or whether he was the first Jewish high priest or not. You know, that's all beside the point. All human high priests, before they made an atonement for the people first, had to make an atonement for themselves. The Jews, they just don't take into consideration what they're doing and what they're saying. When they elevate these high priests, Hebrews 9 and verse 11 says, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," that is to say, not of this building. The priesthood of Christ and the priesthood of men are two separate things. The priesthood of men was given as a type, as a representation of Christ and his work as high priest. "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Aaron and his sons, and their sons, never could do that, could they? They'd offer up the sacrifice there once a year. They'd offer for themselves and they'd offer for the people. Did it cleanse them? Did it make them whole? Did it save them? No. Just a picture. Just a picture of what we're looking at here. "And how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." So when you think about Melchizedek and Abraham as they come together, and Abraham gives tithes to Melchizedek, and all that, we understand that this is prior to the commandment that Moses was given. This was prior to the commandment that God gave Moses concerning who would be a priest of the tribe of Levi. And it stayed that way, and it stayed that way, and it stayed and never changed. But before all of that, before the law is given, we see a priest, this Melchizedek, showing forth that the people of God have hope, that the people of God are blessed, that the people of God are taken care of because a great high priest is coming to do everything that's necessary to save their souls. Everything. Now I mentioned he is mentioned as the righteous king there in chapter 7. The righteous king, he is mentioned as the priest and elsewhere we read of him being a prophet. So even though without father, without mother, without any of that information, and you saw when our pastor was preaching there a couple of weeks ago, and he went through all that information, who begat who, and who begat who, where this one came from, and all that. Well, Abraham came out of the lineage of Shem. But where did Melchizedek come from? I don't know. Why didn't Christ come out of the Levites rather than Judah? Well, he chose to come out of Judah. We see kind of a similarity there that saying that things are going to change and things are now not what they used to be. We read in our text concerning all of this that it was a better covenant, a greater covenant when Jesus became high priest. The law, though you can't fully do away with the law, and though we cannot just go out and break the law of God, on a whim, the law was our schoolmaster who taught us that we were sinners by the power of the Spirit of God, and showed us Christ. This better, more excellent. We read that the keeping of the law was a very terrible sentence upon mankind, if that's what saves you. Because nobody can keep the law. But Christ, as our high priest, came and offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins, taking all of our sin away. What a great high priest you and I have. And what a greater high priest you and I have than what they had in the Old Testament, just me. Just me. Christ is the great high priest. And that's what's being brought out. In chapter 8 and verse 7 of Hebrews says, "For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." Why have another covenant if the first one does the job? No need for it, is it? And if the law saves and the law delivers, and if the law takes away our sin, why have another law to where the Lamb of God would come and do that? "For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I shall make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." It's one of these days when Israel's brought back in that the Lord is going to say, "That's enough of that. That's enough of your being obedient to the law in order to be saved. I have taken care of that in this new covenant." Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. That covenant didn't do any good. And even when they did keep parts of it, the rest of it, they disobeyed. All types, all figures. As I mentioned, the law of God in our day and time is good. It's good to preach the law of God because sinners need to know that they're sinners. That's the trouble with a lot of gospels in our day and time. It does not their gospel does not reveal to them that they're sinners. But God's Word does. Now, a Jew could not serve, as far as the priesthood was concerned, until the age of, or serve anywhere until the age of 25. And then a priest, they couldn't serve until they was of the age of 30. And the priesthood ended at the age of 50. So, you know, we're well past that, aren't we? Us men here, if you're wanting to be a priest, you're too old. You broke down too much. You know, God was careful about his times. He didn't want an old broke down high priest. People look at him, didn't know if he'd even make it to the sacrifice or not. Times. Melchizedek had no restrictions. For he was prior to this. Christ, being the great high priest, more than men, pure and holy, perfect, and without sin. He's the high priest that we ought to talk about. He's the high priest that we ought to lift up. He's the high priest that we ought to find out as much as we can find out about him. I don't guess it matters much how much we know about Melchizedek, does it? Doesn't matter a whole lot whether, you know, we don't know where he came from or where he went or and all that. It's the one that he typified, Christ, is where we ought to be concerned and thinking about. So not only did Jesus Christ die for our sins, rose again for our justification, but he's at the throne of God in heaven making intercession for the saints daily. He's got a never-ending priesthood. Never-ceasing priesthood. Eternal priesthood. I don't know if we think about that as much as we ought to. Every day on our behalf, he's there. Every day. Boy, he sure loves us. And still is providing for us. And will never cease to work for us until we're safely delivered up into heaven. What a great high priest we have. Our Father, we come in Jesus' name thankful this evening for